Numerology is a system of ancient codes found in our birth information that gives insight to the lessons we each must learn in this lifetime. Elizabeth Summers is a medium and esoteric numerologer offering her knowledge of ancient wisdoms to help fellow travelers towards a more enlightened and peaceful path. Join her now for the magical world of numbers.
So, good evening, everyone. Thanks for joining me again. I'm just delighted. I love that entrance. It's a little scary sometimes for some people, but the wind is one of my favorite sounds. The wind going through the leaves of the tree. Sometimes I just take my chair and sit out underneath the full green leaves of the trees, close my eyes and just listen, because of the wind is so peaceful sounding. Of course, in March, it's Mother Earth cleaning out all of the cobwebs of the branches, and we don't sit out then. I digress. Thanks for visiting with me again. And speaking of Mother Nature, every single Wednesday, since I have been on the air since April, it has either snowed or it has rained. I think Wednesday is Mother Nature's rain day in our area. We have had a lot of rain today, all last night. It's raining now. Thank heavens it's not thundering. It would really be scary with what we're going to talk about here tonight. Before I really get into one of my favorite subjects, I want to share with you that my show, The Magical World of Numbers, is being placed in the iTunes store. The podcasts are now being placed in the store so that you can listen to my show, the podcast, on your iTunes, if that works best for you. Of course, you can listen to them, observe them with a video on my YouTube channel, just Elizabeth Summers, and go there and the whole channel comes up, or on my website, The Magical World of Numbers, and you will see the connection, the drop-down for the archives. I'm trying to make it as easy, convenient for you as possible to hear this information that I just love sharing with you. Hopefully, you have gone to my Facebook, The Magical World of Numbers, and liked me. You click on that little thumbs up like. The more likes any business Facebook has, the more the opportunity is for all of us to have our information sent out to everybody. Just a reminder, click on that thumbs up, which says that you like The Magical World of Numbers. There will be a drop down, and this is important. Click on Get Notifications. Be sure that that has a check beside it, and be sure that the word follow has a check on it on the left-hand side. That way, there will be no blocks by other entities that will deny you the information that I'm sending out to you. The Magical World of Numbers on Facebook. Please go to my website, The Magical World of Numbers, and sign up for my bi-weekly newsletter. I'm getting ready to send one out over this weekend all about the sign of Leo, some really good information that affects everybody, especially the air signs, Geminis, Aquariuses, and Libras, as well as all the fire signs, Aries, Sagittarius, and Leos. How could I forget Leo? We're in the sign of Leo. So therefore, all you do is just sign up. Now, Constant Contact will send you a confirmation a response that you just need to click on yes. I honestly don't know what it says because they don't send it to me. Just click on it. It's a spam control thing. Last week, I spoke to you about a really powerful vibration. Remember, the numbers have no power. They are codes of information that are found in your birth name, your month, day, and year of birth, and worked out by a whole series of formulas. By the way, if you ever want to learn how to do your own numbers, go to my website, The Magical World of Numbers. Go to the store, and there is a printed workbook for you to order, or an ebook form, either one. And you can really start working your own numbers. Last week, I spoke about the number 16-7, one of the heavy-duty karma codes. And as we finish up the month of July, I want to just review a bit about the number 7 in general. The number 7 is a spiritual number, which I'm going to talk with you tonight about, that aspect of number 7. There are qualities that are peculiar, germane to the number 7. Remember, I call it the Greta Garbo number. I want to be alone. It's a solitary vibration. And especially if it's a person's birthday number, or their personality is their birthday number, or if it's their life lesson to learn that comes from their month, day, and year of birth, a lot of times they have lifetimes that are single. Not always, but a lot of times. Because it is a vibration of the solitary person. Very mystical. A deep thinker. Philosophical attitude. Approaches life philosophically. Thinks about things. The Rodin's thinker would have a number 7 connected to it. The number 7 energy is very analytical. It's very intuitive. It's a perfectionist. Picky, picky, picky. You know, I often associate the number 7's perfectionism with the sign of Virgo. All the Virgos that I know are really perfectionist. The number 7 specializes. They have an expertise. They love research. And all of that is in the energy of the number 7. But they also can be rather skeptical because they're in their heads. They're too analytical. And it is the sign of ego. And it is the ego. Now, everyone has an ego. Nothing's wrong with having an ego. But when it goes to the extreme, which is what creates the 16-7 karma in some people's lives, not everybody has 16-7 as part of their core numbers, as their codes. But everybody does somewhere in their lifetime and more than once experience a 16-7 personal year. Then all the issues of slow down your life, of take a rest, of be quiet, of a spiritual aspect of the number 7 can kick in, as well as sometimes for some people, a little touch of nasty relationships, both personal and business. I told you that I was going to just briefly touch on the letters G, P, and Y when they are found in a name. These are the letters in our alphabet, the Arabic alphabet, that the number 7 associates with the Chariot card in Tarot. It's a plain old ordinary 7. The Chariot card is a card of victory, but it is also saying, chill out, relax. So the letter G is just the number 7 in a birth name. the letter P, like in Paul and Phyllis and Phoenix and Penelope, that's a 7 also. But now it's a higher vibration. These are called octaves. It's a higher vibration, more intense vibration. And the work that I do, I interpret numbers 1 through 78, not just 1 through 9, or the Chaldean system 1 through 8. I really get into it deeply. That's the esoteric part of being an esoteric numerologist. The letter P has the number 16-7 connected to it, and is very powerful, especially when it appears in the first and the middle name. When it appears in the third name, the spiritual name, it's more about spiritual awakening. Easy way or a hard way. The letter P is the tower card in Tarot. The tower card that has a tower, lightning striking it, people jumping out, mild hysteria. It is about unexpected happenings that are breaking down the old and awakening the new. And finally, the letter Y. In esoteric numerology, the letter Y is considered a vowel. Not all numerologers do this. There is what is called mundane numerology, that is just interpreting numbers 1 through 9 and sticking to the plain old ordinary vowels A, E, I, O, and U. Sometimes W is even taken into the formula if the letter W is preceded by a vowel, like E-W, O-W. So this is my specialty. But I have found, having done this since 1988, that applying these special rules connected to the vowels really create a true understanding for my clients as to who they are as a soul. What is their package coming in here in the readings that I do for them? The letter Y is a crossroads in people's lives. And just look at it, how it's built. It has a stem and then it has a crossroads. And so it is the Knight of Wands in Tarot. It is connected to day in, day out situations. It is sometimes a little challenging because it brings crossroads in people's lives. One of the basic interpretations of the number 7 is choice. Choices, choices, choices. Free will choices. Tonight we're going to take the high road and talk about the spiritual aspects of the number 7. Number 7 is directly connected to your intuition. Everybody has intuition. It is within us. And your intuition is like the gateway to your higher self and your divine wisdom. We have just come out of 2,600 years of the Piscean Age, which was an intellectual age, very male-dominated, and many of you listening, and it is shows up in the charts that I do almost all the time. The number 7 of intuition is missing. There's no letter that equates to the number 7. The soul coming in here doesn't have a consciousness of how to use it. And when it did try to use it in other incarnations, hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, they were killed. They were burned at the stake. And therefore, now as we're in the Aquarian Age, which is awakening to our voice within, our connection within. Subconsciously, your soul's remembering, I remember when I tried to practice that before, and I got killed, and I'm not going there again. And that fear blocks the flow. It's like static on the radio. And therefore, I'm saying to you, be afraid. It's knocking on the door saying, you're not going to get burned at the stake this time around. Let's awaken to it. And that's part of what the Tower card is doing also, 16-7. And so every single person has intuition. It is how the higher mind, how Mother, Father, God, how your higher self chats with you. You gotta let it in. So when you feel stuck, when you feel tired, when you feel confused about what on earth is going on, you are out of alignment with your own higher self. It's that fussy feeling, you know, that agitation. And so in tonight's visit, I want to chat with you about how you will know that you're in touch with your guides, your higher self, your loved ones who crossed into spirit, and also how to improve your intuitive skills. How will I know, and how do I improve? Let's make a differentiation right off the bat between the word psyche, P-S-Y-C-H-E, and the word psychic. Two different things, spelled differently. But psyche pertains to the soul or your spirit from your body with your mind, and it's the center of thought and feeling and behavior. It is connecting to spirit, but through the mind, through your thoughts, through your feelings, through your behaviors, through your mind. Psychic pertains to perception caused by feelings, by something extrasensory, by some sort of mental telepathy that you just can't quite put your finger on, not quite explained by natural laws, but there's something there. It's like an antenna dish. And our soul is trying to get our antenna dishes, our satellite dishes, our towers, up and running and getting the rust off of it. There are various ways. Now, I am very blessed to be a medium, a middle person, a clairvoyant, which we'll talk about soon. And so I speak from experience, not just intellectual study and reading. I am sharing with you tonight from that point of view, but also experientially, based on my own life, my own work that I do, and some of the little insight. You, not be afraid. Not be afraid. In all of our bodies, there are energy fields called chakras. I know you're all familiar with that. And there are seven basic ones. But there's a whole bunch more. There's chakras in your hands and the bottom of your feet and around your energy fields and on and on and on. We're used to the major sevens. And tonight we're going to focus on four of the chakras, four of the energy fields through which your higher self tries to say, hello, hello, can we talk? We're going to talk about the second chakra, the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh. The second chakra, which is at the base of the spine, is about sexuality and your ability to become an energy, but it is also connected to the gift of clairsentience, C-L-A-I-R-S-C-H-E-N-T-I-E-N-C-E. Ooh, what a long word. It is here, in that base of the spine, where clairsentience is developed. And clairsentience is the ability to feel energy. Sometimes people have pain down there, in their lower back. And it's because they're resisting what their feelings are. So clairsentience, just by a word, means feeling. Now there's a couple kinds of clairsentience. One is a prophetic clairsentience. Anyone who has this can pick up thoughts and has the ability to just kind of sort of know things. Although they don't understand or know why they know, they just kind of know things. This type of person, gifted like this, experiences what is called precognition. Pre, before, cognition, knowing. Pre-knowing. My sister has precognition. And this precognition gets experienced in the form of hunches and dreams and knowings that revolve around from the past or present or future or how it will affect another person. Did you ever kind of sort of walk up on somebody and be about 3 feet in their energy field and you just don't like them? You don't know why. You get a funny feeling. It is because you are experiencing a knowing from the past connected to the experience with that person, and your soul is saying, I don't know about that. But at the same token, we can walk up on someone and we just like them immediately. Same thing. Precognition is also knowing events are going to happen ahead of time, before they happen. My poor sister years ago, she's better now, but would have waking dreams about airplane crashes. And sure enough, well, of course, that was a little upsetting to her to experience these things, and we had many, many chats about it. It's not a bad thing. It's just, believe it or not, a gift that is an intuitive gift that people have. Prophetic clairsentience. The other kind of clairsentience is called feeler clairsentience. Now, this type of person picks up thoughts and feelings and experiences, but it manifests as a feeling. They feel energy around them. Again, you walk up on somebody, you're feeling that energy about them, good, bad, or indifferent. They're people who have this type of clairsentience, their sense of touch is very well developed. And they kind of sort of have an ability to know people by how they feel about them. This is where psychometry comes in. Those souls that can hold a ring, a watch, a picture, they pick up the feeling that is around that particular energy field of that particular item. That's called psychometry. And it's a form of feeler clairsentience. So they have the ability to use these gifts, but it also can be a little difficult because of their ability to feel how other people feel, and not just on an emotional level. It can make them personal difficulties. They can feel another person's pain, physical pain even, emotional pain, bruises, loss, grief. This is what an empath is. EM is like the prefix IN. I am in path with them. I am in feeling with them. Now, anyone who is an empath does not necessarily have an easy life and needs to know how to set their boundaries. When to hold them, when to fold them, in other words. Because believe me, it can really, if a person doesn't know how to control it, it can really mess the empath's life up because they're just picking up like an antenna dish everyone's feelings and ideas and attitudes and taking them into their own energy fields. And can you imagine what that's like? It's like running down a grocery list and just throwing anything from the shelves haphazardly into the grocery basket, whether you need it or not, and you wind up with a mess at checkout. Some people have both of these clairsentience. Some are prophetic, some are feelers, Some are both. So the signs to look for in order to develop your gift of clairsentience, because I told you I'm going to help you recognize things and then how to develop them. So the signs that you want to look for in order to develop the gift of clairsentience, all this is connected to the number 7. And in some ways the number 2 also, because that is the feminine energy of intuitiveness that helps number 7 get out of its head. So when you know spirits are around you, you usually can feel them. You just feel them. Maybe you get a feeling of a warm touch, maybe a hand on the back of your neck or your foot, or maybe you can feel them in your heart chakra where your heart begins to palpitate real, real, real fast, or even you can get a twitch somewhere in your body. You can get a cold chill. The hairs on your arms can stand up. That is a vibration that you are feeling spirit, angels, loved ones. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. What you are doing is feeling energy. Everything is energy. You are, I am, spirit is, master's guides are, angels are, everything's energy. And if you are clairsentient, then you have the ability to feel the energy of everything. People and animals and plants and objects and spirits. Oh. And you can feel them through heat or getting cold. A lot of times when I am doing medium work and loved ones from spirit come into my office to visit, the temperature in my office goes down. It gets cold because that is the energy of the spirit world. They have, it's a colder vibration, and they're bringing it in here, and of course, my skin's picking it up. Huh. The 5th chakra, or the throat chakra, is about clairaudience. It's about telepathy. It's about listening. Now, it is probably, I was oblivious to the fact in my younger years of that I had clairsentient feeling energies, and I just ignored it. I'm sure I did. But I will tell you that years ago in the 80s, I began to be clairaudient. I realized it in my kitchen. In my kitchen is when I began to get hearing. You kind of hate to tell people that you hear voices because you know what that means to some people. But clairaudience, audio, audience, energy hearing, is about listening. So clairaudience is the ability to hear beyond the normal range of hearing. And hearing is not an accurate word because clairaudience is not about hearing with your ears. Now, I have very sensitive ears to the point I have to sleep with earplugs. And today, I had lunch in a restaurant, and I had to close my ears because I was hearing everybody in the whole side of with my sensitive ears. It was very uncomfortable, and it looked kind of stupid, too. But hearing is, you're not hearing with your ears. What you're doing is you're picking up sound through the projection that's in your mind, that's in your thought processes, in your mind. It comes in as a heavy thought. It's not like a bugle in your ear. It comes as a thought, and you hear the sound of a voice of someone talking to you. And there's different levels of clairaudience, which I just love this. This is really exciting, and still, this is one of the ways that I really operate today. I am very clairaudient. But anyway, you can start by hearing some odd sounds, or even a full voice, and as you really get tuned into it and not be afraid of, trust me, you can have full conversations going on You're not saying a word. You're just thinking it. Thinking it with your mind, and that thought is energy, goes to whomever, an angel, a master, a guide, a loved one, a brother, sister, someone. They're talking back to you, and you can have full conversations going back and forth. It's very cool. But, you know, it takes practice. But I'm saying to you, the possibility is there. So there's two kinds of clairaudience. One is very subjective, being internally heard in your mind, which I just described. And the other one is objective. You hear it externally. The sound does not sound like it's coming from the mind, but around from a person. Just as if you're talking, they're talking to you, and that sound is outside of yourself. Now, when I do my medium work, the loved ones are talking to me, and I hear them inside, but I also hear them outside. It goes both ways. It's very cool. So I want you to listen. If there's a shock or fear in the tone of the spirit, you need to listen to the voice. Most of them will come through as a gentle energy, a conversational energy. But the tone is important because they, spirits, express their ideas, their thoughts, their emotions through this voice that they're transmitting to you. So the tone of voice will give a lot away apart from actual words spoken. You will feel, sometimes I've had parents come in for the person that I'm the medium for, and they're a little fussy. They're not too happy with who she is dating. And that tone says to me that stressiness, that unhappiness that I then have to share with my clients. So pay attention to the tone that comes through. Now, when a spirit talks to me, it's very clear to get it picked up properly. The link becomes in your mind, you can hear their thoughts, and it's how they communicate. And I can talk, and you can do this too, if you pay attention to how this works. You can talk back and forth. A lot of people experience the first signs of clairaudience, through hearing a ticking, 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 or a clicking, clicking, or a hissing, or whooshing noise in their ears. Now, I know there's some sort of ear problem out there of a tinnitus, something like that. But really, that's one of the ways that spirit can start saying, hello, if you hear this, and we're still working on it, you can hear words and conversations as we go on. The other form of clairaudience is telepathy. Telepathy, or thought transference, is communication between two minds. Two minds. Remember, thought is energy, without the use of the five senses or even something visible. Extrasensory perception, or telepathy, is a psychic mental ability to transmit information from your mind to another person. Now, you can be doing it all day, but if that other person is not on the same wavelength, they're not going to get it right away, but I will tell you, they will get it. When you think something, it goes to the universe, expands, and if you put an intention behind it, that person will, as soul, receive it telepathically. I tell all my parents, and especially mothers, who have a little bit of fear around this child, that child, whatever, I say to them, do not think, say, or send them mentally fear, because that fear is an energy and will get to that child, no matter what. You send them love, you send them blue healing light, you send them support, no matter what they're doing. Because that is the more positive energy that their soul will get and will start working much better than, Oh, my gosh, he's going to go to jail if he keeps doing that. You don't want to do that. Do not send fear ever to yourself and to anybody else. Everyone has varying degrees of telepathic ability, whether they're seasoned, whether they're dormant, whatever. Thought is energy. What you think you create, that is a form of telepathy. The key to having a clear, the key to developing and working with telepathy is that you have to have a clear, still, not thinking about the groceries and decorating and taking off the wallpaper and everything else, still, clear mind. Then it can get through. I promise you, I am telling you, and I tell everybody that I teach this to, spirit does not play. They'll wait until you shut down the conscious mind, the subconscious mind gets active, and then it begins to chat. Daydreaming is a form of telepathy. You want to get to a daydreaming sort of stage. It's very neutral. So you have to believe that you have this ability, and no doubt. Doubt is fear, and you want no doubt. This is especially true with telepathy, because skeptics do not believe in it because they doubt it, and that doubt blocks it like static on a radio. The sixth chakra is your third eye, is your forehead, and this is clairvoyance. Now, clairvoyance is connected to the number three in numerology, and a lot of people have a lot of threes coming in here in their birth name. That means several things as a human, but it also says in many ways they have clairvoyant ability, which is very cool. And clairvoyant is what I am, and I'm very blessed. I have a three soul, and it is a natural gift. It only took a couple decades for me to, like, hello, get the fact that we got this going on. Definition of clairvoyance is having the ability, having the power to kind of see objects or people or actions that are really above and beyond the natural range of visions, natural vision. So clairvoyance means clear seeing. Seeing. And almost everyone knows what clairvoyant is. It's the ability to see spirit. And if you are clairvoyant, you have two ways of doing it. Through your third eye, or actually seeing Uncle George standing in front of you from the spirit world. Now, this was the last gift that developed with me, and it developed when I came to Colorado, when I was in the mountains, in quiet, in isolation, if you will, after my husband's passing into spirit in 1999. It's not that long ago. And I recognized it while doing a numerology reading. I picked up the energy clairsentient-wise, that the person that I was reading for, their father was there. Really, Elizabeth? I said to the woman, is your father in the spirit world? Yes. I said, well, your father's in the room with us. And that began my recognition of the ability. I said to spirit, when I recognized that I was clairvoyant, I cut a deal. I said, okay, I'll do this, but I only want to see spirit, see relatives, see as a medium through my third eye, the middle of my forehead. I do not, like the ghost program on television, want to see them as an entity, as a hologram in my office. Absolutely not. That would scare the heck out of me. And so therefore it began. You will find that clairvoyance is fabulous. You are able to see Rose. You are able to see spirit guides, angels. Clairvoyance is like having a movie, watching a Hallmark movie up in your head. It's like a daydream. Your forehead will itch when it's developing, when it's improving. You'll just have an itchy forehead. I find this to be so true. Itchy, itchy, and you think, do I have a rash or something? That is the activation of the third eye that is increasing your clairvoyance. Sometimes you can also have clairvoyance and clairsentience and clair everything. You're a busy person. Use it for the good. The key is the intention. So clairvoyance is really, folks, not a common psychic gift. It's not a common psychic gift. We all have intuition. We can have telepathy. We can have clairaudience, some of us, if we pay attention and listen and don't second guess it. Clairvoyance is not a common psychic gift. Clairvoyance is thought to be the best psychic gift to have. Those, numerologically speaking, who have a lot of four letters that equate to the number four or the number eight in their birth name or tools coming in here, or have a four or an eight emotional vibration by formula, they have more difficulty opening up to this because it is kind of loosey-goosey. And those codes are very structured. They are geometrically symbolized by a square. And their job in this lifetime is to become more open and understand, and usually I have them understand intellectually first, like we're doing tonight, and then they know what to look for. They know how to operate. So how do you develop your clairvoyant abilities? It's very visual. It's like a daydream. You're in a neutral zone, and it needs practice. Like playing a piano. Unless you're extremely gifted, you don't sit down and play a concerto. Practice. Practice your clairvoyant abilities because it's imagination. People who are artists, number three, designers, are usually very clairvoyant. They can see spirit. They have a vision. They can walk into a room as an interior designer and just know what the room's going to look like all finished. They're very visual, great imagination, and this is one of the things that you want to do is activate your imagination. Not play pretend, but imagine. So how can you tell? This is one of the key questions I get. How can you tell images are from spirit? You can tell the difference by what your imagination tells you and what is from spirit. What is your imagination and what is your spirit? You know, am I thinking this? This makes sense. When you receive an image from spirit, you're not in control. That's what I'm saying. It's like a daydream. You know, you're driving down the highway and you're kind of just daydreaming even though you're in traffic. And ideas come in, and thoughts come in. You're not in control. You're just letting it flow. That tells you it's from spirit. You're not creating the image. It just kind of sort of appears in your mind's eye without any active participation from you. How do you open your clairvoyance? Well, number one, I want you to imagine your third eye. That's between your eyebrows. I want you to visualize kind of an eyelid on your third eye, opening up. Opening your eyelid, just as you do your regular eyeballs. all visualization does is it sets an intention to do something. If you visualize this regularly, you are putting energy behind your intention to open up your third eye, which is the center of your clairvoyant abilities. I want to do this. So you're beginning in the beginning. You're visualizing your beautiful third eye. Now, you know, it doesn't have to be blue or green or orange or whatever, but beautiful. The energy is beautiful. And see an eyelid that slowly you and see it opening up in your imagination. And it is the center of your clairvoyant abilities. And that, folks, is when your forehead's going to start to itch. It's going to start to itch. That's a good thing. It is telling you that it's activating that third eye. Now, I know I have just gone on and on and on here. We have not taken a break, and I do apologize. But next month, I'm going to start talking about the number 8. And this is so much information that I want to share with you that I am just buzzing right through here. And I apologize, but I'm not going to be doing readings here tonight. I find, based on the work that I do, the questions that I get asked, the readings that I do, so many people have this issue that their soul wants them to know about. Their soul is trying to turn on the light bulb, and they don't know how. And I said to myself, well, I'm going to share what I know, what I do. And then what you do with it is on you. So there's a couple, you know, tricks to the trade, so to speak, that I'm going to share with you. Definitely, there are blocks to clairvoyance. Definitely blocks. And I've already told you about them. There are blocks that are past life block of memories, of fear. It's all fear. Sometimes it has to do with ego. Too many sevens in a birth name coming in here, which says that soul is coming into this lifetime very analytical, very much, well, this doesn't make sense, very egotistical, and very much in the mind. Those are the people that I really have to warn and kind of educate so that their opening can be more gentle than that tower card we talked about. Traumas. Sometimes a soul will birth itself into a very fundamentalist religion, a belief system that really reinforces their past life experiences connected to intuitiveness, connected to clairaudience, clairhearing, whatever. Every baby, and especially the ones that are born now, the starseed children, the chrysalid children, all of them are coming in with their third eye wide open, their crown chakras wide open. They know, they know, they know. And because they're trying to fit into a society that doesn't make sense to that soul, they will smoke it away, drink it away, suppress it, suppress it, suppress it. They'll take themselves out. They can't stay anymore. This is not working for me. Bless their hearts. So traumas are blocks. Present lives where you know, but your family, your environment, your society really punished you for expressing your feelings and your abilities and pushes it down like a plunger. This can be from past lives, this lifetime, traumas. It's okay. Know that you are divine, that you have the gift of intuition, because that's how your higher self communicates to you. Not going to jump in front of you like a hologram and give you instructions, especially mine. You can put a clear quartz crystal over your third eye. You can put a lapis Zaluli. I'm sure I said that wrong. Lazuli, over your third eye, which is your third eye chakra in the middle of your forehead. Or go into a crystal shop with the intention of finding just the right crystal to help you open up. Purple amethyst, fabulous. I use clear quartz crystal and purple amethyst and Anchi crystals in the work that I do. It is important for you to know that you have these gifts. There's an affirmation you can use that says, intention. I am profoundly clairvoyant, and it is safe for me to see, to feel, to know, and I release and I heal whatever fears, whatever traumas that are blocking you from seeing spirit. And finally, we have our beautiful crown chakra. And the crown chakra is like an open jewel box. When that crown, and you'll find, it's kind of at the top of your head, but you're always like itching. Your hair's itching. You go, oh, my skin is dry and I need conditioner and all of that. But when your crown chakra is really activating and cooking along, you'll have the itchies up there, just like you have the itchies on the forehead. And just enjoy it. Relax with it. This is how God comes through to you. It is like a lotus flower that is a spiritual awakening. The spiritual lesson here is to learn, with this crown chakra, is to learn to live in the now. Live in the now. There's only today. Yesterday, other lifetimes, you don't wear your baby shoes anymore. Let go and stay in the now. You were born with a sixth sense. You were born with intuition. It gets blocked in your memory bank. Let her go. Let her rip. It is so wonderful because it's like picking up the phone and talking to your masters and your angels and your guides and asking them questions, and they'll answer you back. It is very important for you to have quiet time in your life. You need to relax. You need to focus. You need to believe. You need to sit still. People say to me, well, how can I develop this? How can I? The first thing I say to them is silence. Is silence. Turn off the radios, all of the widgets and the iPods and the this and the that and the other thing. Spirit will not play, I am telling you. It will not compete noise-wise because it comes through as a gentle feeling. It comes through as a gentle tone of voice. The messages come as a heavy thought. Your job is to be listening, to be paying attention, and you can be doing that if you're distracted by the heebie-jeebies on the radio, or the screaming kids, or the whatever. Every day, as best that you can, sometimes twice a day, but at least once a day. I'm in the morning. In the morning is when I have to do this. You must have quiet time. I don't like the word meditation. It's too highfalutin for me. It's basically sit down, be quiet, have your cup of coffee in your hand or tea or whatever, and just be quiet and allow the thoughts to come and go, gently come and go. If you have a Tibetan bowl, gently ring it so it distracts you from tearing off the wallpaper and doing the grocery shopping. But it is important for you to have quiet time. If you can't sit still, because some of us can't sit still, took me a while to learn how to sit still, then go to the kitchen, which is where I learned, where I began to hear. Because when you're in the kitchen, you're doing mindless things. You're peeling potatoes. You're washing dishes. You go into neutral. And it is in that neutral zone, mental neutral zone, that they can start communicating with you. Pay attention. Do gardening. Go for a walk. Ride your bicycle. Sit beside water. Water is really great. Get in the shower. How many of us, me included, have had great ideas come to me in the shower? Wow. Ask and you will receive. I'm telling you, the more you build up the communication, the open flow, feeling, hearing, seeing. Some people have all of it, and some people their specialty is one or the other. That's okay. Not everybody can play every instrument in an orchestra. They specialize. Some people can, some people can't. It's very cool. You're never alone. You're never lonely. You have great belief and faith and trust that you are loved and protected and cared for. To many of my clients, I have used the metaphor that says, when a soul decides to come into human existence, it's not an easy place for spiritual growth. It takes courage. Therefore, we are admired. We are blessed by our masters and guides and angels. We are greatly supported and helped. We are their rock stars. And they are our groupies. They will help all that they can. If you get the flow going, you can ask a question and get an immediate response, get an immediate hit back. Sometimes it takes a while. They'll give you a sign and ask for a gentle sign. Ask for the next step. Ask and you shall receive. I hope that our visit tonight, chatting about the number 7, has helped you not to be afraid, helped you to know how wonderful it is, how beautiful it is, paying attention to your feelings, paying attention to the shivers in your body, paying attention to your imagination. Have focus, have faith, and have fun. I love this work. I love talking with you every Wednesday night. Download any shows that you missed in the past. Know that it's on iTunes. It's on my website. Go to Facebook, The Magical World of Numbers, and like me, and be sure you get that drop down, get notifications, and check the follow for your sake, because I am sharing as much as I can. Go to my website and sign up to have a reading, with me. To find out what gifts and tools that you have. I am always here for you. I love my work. I love my people. I love my radio show. And I love my gifts. And this is why I want to share my gifts with you. I'm always here. I'm an email away, a phone call away. And know that I think about you a lot. I send you God's white light, his peace and his harmony. And I wish you all good things. And so until we meet next week, thank you so much for visiting with me in the magical world of numbers. Mm-hmm.